in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air performance number 488. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined, as usual, by Nicole Shiro.
Hello, it's Shiro.
Shiro and Sheps, you are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live just this one day at koop.org. You guys better stick around because we'll be right back.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, October 24th, 2018. On the show today, Zach Crawford is joining us, and we are going to talk theater, oddly enough. Also later, we'll be talking to some folks that were in the play that goes wrong that's playing at the Bass Concert Hall right at this very moment. And of course, we're going to have a lively discussion of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Manor, and Downton Abbey. Sure what I meant by Downton Abbey.
I was like, I'm not quite sure, but I'll go there with you.
They need theater, too.
Isn't it a theater, though?
It is. Uh-huh. It is. It is the theater of Maggie Smith.
Smith. You know, Julian Fellowes has written a few books for musicals. You're tying it into...
You know what?
Broadway.
You know what I say about Julian? I say he's a jolly good fellows.
Ar.
So, did you recognize that song? Did you recognize that singer?
Well, I knew it was My Fair Lady.
Yeah. Did you recognize the singer?
Is it the new cast album?
It is indeed, which I didn't know came out, and it came out in July.
I was like, didn't it come out earlier this summer?
Yes, it did.
Is this Laura Benanti or the...
Laura Ambrose.
Okay.
And I played it because, indeed, last night, Laura Benanti started her turn, who... I was on the Laura Benanti trail from the very beginning when they announced this.
I know you were.
I thought she would make an incredible Liza, and indeed, I bet you she will. I would love to see her.
And I bet she'll be very different than Lauren Ambrose, which is really awesome.
Yeah, there was a and who she did evidently great. Of course, didn't see it. There was a great interview, and I forgot. I saw it on I think Playbill.com with. Laura Benanti and somebody else, and she was just talking about it, and I had it playing in the background. She had no rehearsal with the cast.
Oh, no.
It was only with the stage manager. And
whoa.
Because whoever's playing Henry Higgins, or as I like to call him, Henry Higgins. Who is...
I can't think of his name
around.
Now because I've got Henry
what's his name?
In my head.
No, that guy.
You know, that guy. By the way, we should introduce... Well, before I introduce anybody, the huge crowds of people here, I want to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful international folk bazaar. He just doesn't settle for local.
No.
Or even federal.
He's international.
International.
Whatever little ditty he was playing near the end there, I was very joyful and I was enjoying it and talking about how much I was enjoying it as we were in the station here.
It was a joyful noise. Here in the studio amongst everybody. Oh, I will throw this out. This is going to be an interesting show today. We're just going to chit-chat a lot of things. I have a confession to make too. But before we do, if anybody wants to talk to us and they want to call us on the telephone, 512-472-5667. You know, we try this every now and then. It's never worked. But if you're out there and you want to talk theater in Austin, you mind your P's and Q's if you call in, because you will be on the air when you call in. 512-472-5667. I see that flashing. I'm going to answer it and bring it live to the air. So just know that that's going to happen if you call in.
So you wanted to talk about that line. You wanted to talk about the song for a minute did play from My Fair Lady.
I'm a big fan of My Fair Lady. I love it. It takes me back to my childhood. And so that song is really fun. But I know mostly the film soundtrack, the Julie Andrews and the Julie Andrews Broadway recording.
You mean the film...
Is Marnie Nixon, actually, who sings it.
But it was still, what's her name? It wasn't...
It was...
oh, my gosh. Breakfast Audrey, at Tiffany's. Why Audrey. Can't I think of her name? Hepburn. Audrey Hepburn. Thank you. I can see her. Why can't I say her name?
So the lyrics are, will I help you? Will I help you? Don't be funny is the actual lyric, but I have always, up until yesterday when I heard this version, and I always thought it was, will I help you, Darby funny? Darby funny. I don't know what that meant, but that's what
you just really, that was it.
That's how I always sang it. So
did you have this big aha moment?
I had an aha.
Have to go look it up and be like, what?
I had an aha moment. Okay, before we start talking theater, I have a question for the two of you. Uh-huh. Oh, I haven't introduced Zach Crawford.
Hello.
Zach Crawford is here with us. Hi, Zach.
Hi.
We love Zach. We're doing something different here in the studio. We're actually sitting down. We don't normally sit.
We are all sitting.
Mm-hmm. And it's very odd to sit. So I'm just going to say
very
that.
It's very sedentary.
It is sedentary.
I mean, I can stand if you want me to. But no. I feel like I need to sit.
No, I may, because I find this very odd and off-putting. But as long as I maintain the energy, I'm totally cool. Right?
Woo!
And Zach is one of the more energetic folks I've ever seen. So he's always like...
He's bouncing off the walls right now. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
So here's my confession. So I have been busier than a one-armed paper. Oh, wait, before I get to my confession, remember, one-armed paper hanger. Have you guys voted yet?
Not yet. I did go to vote, and the little polling stuff was down when we went yesterday morning. Oh, no.
Zach, have you
it's
voted?
On the agenda to go back.
It's been boiling water.
Okay, are you going to vote?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, are you going to vote?
Absolutely.
Do you promise?
Absolutely.
Do you promise?
I promise.
All right. And now I'm talking to you there on Radioland. Do you promise to vote? It's really important that you vote. And you may as well early vote.
That's what I'm going to do is early vote.
You may
vote.
As well.
And I saw that. You can do it anywhere.
You can do it anywhere. And there's all these really great tools online that you can find where locally to go. And you can see the wait times before you
Well,
go.
And I went to the Juvenile Probation Center, which was quite fun.
Oh, that one off Oltorf?
It's at Oltorf and Congress.
Yes.
The Gardner Betts. Yes. So I went there and I stood in line with 20 or so of my favorite friends. And it was probably more. I stood in line, I think, in 2016 as well. But once I got in, it went pretty quickly. This time, every voting booth was. You had to wait for the voting booths to get done. That's great. So there's lots of stuff to vote on. I would say please vote, but instead I'm going to just say vote. You need to vote.
For sure.
Okay, so now you ready for my confession?
What is your confession? You didn't vote. You lied.
I did vote. Yo voté.
Yo voté.
Yo voté. And not that you have to. I voted for the Democrat. Just saying that right out loud.
You go for it.
Yeah, I'm allowed to do that.
You are.
Okay, you can vote for whoever you want to. But I voted for the Democrat.
I'm cracking yourself up over there. Yeah. But the best is you're in the chair spinning as you're cracking yourself up over there.
Yep. So here's my confession. So normally I research the show. I throughout the week get articles and I just place them away. And then I diligently read them starting at about 7 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday till I come in. I went to see The Play That Goes Wrong last night, so I couldn't do anything last night. I had a training that I was into today. I was planning to get out of that training and come and read all my my stuff, but I didn't. So we're going to be exploring things. We're going to be exploring things as we go, so it'll be really, really fun. So we're going to start with, we had several openings. But a couple are pretty big. And the first one is The Ferryman, which is a straight play.
Well, yes, it's that Jez Butterworth.
It Good for you. Okay, I need to tell you that I could not have come up with Jez Butterworth's name without looking at my notes, but there...
I've been talking about Ferryman. This cast is about this Irishman. This cast is like 38
people in a straight play. Not all of them speak.
No. So here's why we had... You were gone one episode when we talked recently about... Because I'm...
Yeah, because it was off-Broadway, I believe.
Yeah, and I've been on the fence only because... The last Jez Butterworth play that he did on Broadway was The River with Hugh Jackman, where I fell in love.
No, he did Jerusalem.
Oh, but the last one I saw, okay, was The River with Hugh Jackman. Yeah. It's all about me.
Yeah. It's all about you.
Come on now, really.
Got it. Okay.
But that is where I fell in love with, oh my gosh, I can't think of her name. She was on The Good Wife.
Lisa Sheps.
And she's on that new podcast spinoff of it, too, that I was like, who
You're
is
talking about
this
Julian
girl?
Margulies?
No, she's an English actress. She came on
Dame Judi Dench.
No. She wrote her own Josephine Baker show.
I don't know. Let's not worry about it. Let's just keep going.
But anyway, I'm still on the fence about The River. So it got me so like torn up with what was he doing as
There's
a playwright
lots of fish.
That I'm like, where is this going? Okay. But Benjamin Ensley Cline, who directed Anne, is associate director on this one too. And
well,
so
it was directed by Sam Mendes, who is known for his film directing. Yeah.
He's Kate Winslet's ex-husband.
That I didn't know.
Do you want to make it pop culture for you?
Now I know it.
Another English dude.
So he directed it, and this is just a love letter.
Big one.
From the New York Times and from others. Ben Brantley wrote this one, and there are 21 speaking parts. And it lasts for 3.25 hours.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot for a straight play, too.
I like to call it, he calls the show All at Once, a shivery suspenser, a hearthside family portrait, a political tragedy, and a journey across mythic scenes.
Yeah.
Seas.
That's pretty mythic seas. That excites me.
So this
me.
Is taking place in Northern Ireland, and we're all old enough to remember when that was in the news almost every day, the bombings and things that were happening in Northern Ireland and in England. So that's interesting. And it stars, I love the guy that stars in this. I love the name. I don't know this person.
But his name is everything.
Paddy Considine.
Oh. Yeah.
P-A-D-D-Y.
You know who he is if you saw him.
Yeah.
If you saw him, Lisa, you'd be like, it's that guy.
Well, he looks like this.
Yeah, you don't have a...
So here's a word you don't see in a review or in the New York Times very often. He uses ginormous.
Wow.
In the review.
No, you don't
it's in
ever
the dictionary now.
Hear...
It's in the OED.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, so then I guess you can use it.
It's an official word they can use.
So he says that the ferryman which stars the magnetic Paddy Considine is the head of a ginormous family. And it takes place in a home, and there is a family that has, I think, 7 kids.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered correctly. Plus his wife, who's an invalid. Plus, I love this, the Irish Republican aunt... And Virgil quoting uncle, both of them named Pat.
Well, I mean...
Aunt and Uncle Pat.
Mm-hmm. Can I, not to be stereotypical, I'm an Irish girl and my grandmother's name is Mary Margaret Cusack and so are her 5 sisters. We all called them something different.
Right, I don't know, but if I were to get married and, you know, the option's out there, folks, so feel free to call. If I were to get married, I don't know that I would marry someone named Lisa or I would make one of us choose our middle name.
But if it's true love.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, and so, well, most everyone in my family is a Mary, a Pat, or a Charles, or a Lizzie.
Yeah. All right.
And
most of the people in my family are Morris, Sam, Rebecca, Sarah. I'm just thinking of Jewish names. That's all not true. he calls this it's got a propulsive plot that never stops churning forward, even as it keeps looking backwards, which I think is sort of
That's kind of a cool little
turn of phrase.
Okay. Yeah.
In other reviews, now I have not read these yet. So this is, so I obviously had read that one, so I had a little bit of information. So this is, so we're just going to pick some at random. My favorite, Charles Isherwood, who I wish he was still writing for the Times. He says the play is almost as exuberantly funny as it is powerfully theatrical, and its marvelous cast infuses the play with such life-affirming light that when, in the play's explosive ending, darkness threatens to swallow them up, it comes up as a shattering shock.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shattering shock.
Okay. So the next one I'm going to read is Variety, Marilyn Stasio. Flawless ensemble work by a large and splendid cast adds depth to the characters in this sprawling drama that is at once a domestic calamity and a political tragedy. So that's two different reviews, both used at once.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm looking through these, all, everybody's
all,
very happy.
I didn't see any...
Nothing, nothing unhappy.
Because now it the questions I had in my head made me go, well, I don't question anymore. I actually now am very curious. I like that Jez makes me think, even if I'm angry at him.
So but, the writer...
Oh, Kush Jumbo. That was the girl's name.
Oh, okay.
Kush Jumbo from
so,
the river.
So, Jez Butterworth, his wife, she'd be Mrs. Butterworth.
She would.
Yeah.
Just saying, thinking of pancakes. All right. So, we also had another good review here, Gloria A Life, about Gloria Steinem.
Steinem. Mm-hmm.
Starring Christine Lottie, amongst other people. I love Christine Lottie. This is an off-Broadway show. It's directed by Diane Paulus, so you know, zing.
Zing on, yes.
Again, this is, not again, this is one I haven't read. So it is at the Daryl Roth Theater in Union Square, my old neighborhood.
I love that.
And it it looks like it's a positive review. I'm just going to say it is.
I was going to, I didn't like sit and invest in reading it. I glanced over it, but it was overall, and all the other stuff that I saw, it wasn't like this, oh, it's the best run now or at once, like you just got with Jez's mm-hmm. review, but it wasn't so crazy. When another fun pop trivia, fun pop culture fact about Gloria Steinem.
Please.
Her stepson is Christian Bale.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Isn't that a weird random?
Yeah.
I love those weird puns.
So you got Christine Lottie, who's playing Gloria Steinem, and six actors play the non-Gloria characters. And let's see who wrote this. I bet you it's a Jesse Green. It is indeed a Jesse Green. I'm beginning to see their styles.
That's good, though.
I guess, yeah. True. Gloria characters, they're shifting swiftly from male to female, young to old, bemused and bereaved. And he liked specifically... the women that played Florence Kennedy and Wilma Mankiller, which is Patrina Murray and Delana Studi. Anyway, so that's something to see. I don't think I have a wrap up. Nope, I don't have a wrap up of stuff here. What I do have a wrap up here is The Lifespan of a Fact.
Oh, Harry Potter's play.
Is it a Harry Potter play?
He's in it. It's
written by a wizard?
Oh,
no, he's Daniel Radcliffe is in it. That was the one I text Nick, do I care or do I not? And he texts me back, you don't. I was like, okay, just wondering.
He didn't like it?
Yeah, I guess that's because I was actually starting to become curious about it. I've seen a few interviews with not just Daniel, but with the cast. And I was like, this is interesting. Sherry Jones is also in it. And oh my gosh, now I can't think of the third person that I...
Well, so let's see what the critics say about The Lifespan of a Fact. We'll go straight to Charles Isherwood. It's literate. What I am not. It's literate, but stubbornly drama deficient. Radcliffe gives a feisty, boisterously funny performance, and the superb Cannavale, that's Bobby Cannavale, parries this aggression with his own softly sneering contempt. Okay. It's directed, Deadline's Greg Evans says it was directed with, it should be efficacy, but it says, efficiency. It's not efficacy. Directed with efficiency by Lee Silverman. Let's see what the New York Times, Jesse Green says. The play ping-pongs along and the result is the result of a terrific comic staging by Lee Silverman. With its cast, its dead-on timing, its perfect set by Mimi Lean, and sound design by Palmer Heffern, It would probably nail its laughs even without the dialogue.
Well, that's a nice one.
Yeah.
It's strange. The previous reviews didn't sound like it was funny at all.
No. I didn't get funny at all from anything I've seen or looked at.
Marilyn Stazzo of Variety says, Daniel Radcliffe proves to be a master of comedy. And finally, Vulture Sarah Holdren says, directed with a light touch and a sense for gradual crescendo by Lee Silverman and constructed with elegance and precision on all fronts by the first all-female design team on Broadway, the lifespan of a fact gives you the satisfying rush of a good mystery or a crossword puzzle. Nick Mayo saw it, didn't like it.
I guess
that's
so.
What you're trying to tell me?
Because I said I was finding it curious watching all this interviews and pre-press. So then I text, do I care or not care? Because I didn't want to start investing in wanting to see it or not. And he said, don't. But now I'm curious again.
Yeah, it sounds like something I'd want to see.
Yes.
I'm just going to say. So it just goes to show you that we love
different
Nick Mayo.
Different strokes for different folks.
But
that's what makes the world go round.
Then there's Mother of the Maid, which is at the Public, starring one Glenn Close.
Yes, this is the one that I mentioned quickly. Glenn Close is back doing, playing Joan of Arc's mother.
Yep. Mother of the Maid. So that's the mother of Joan of Arc. I haven't read this review, but there is a picture of it right here.
She's very period.
Yeah.
Okay. Grace Van Patten plays Joan of Arc, and Miss Close is her mother.
I know. And I watched a whole bunch of interviews. I've seen a lot of pre-press on this, and I have always been fascinated with Joan of Arc, and I'm always fascinated with Glenn Close, yet the show does nothing for me. I'm like, oh, great, good for y'all. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I can't tell whether this is good or bad. You can go to offstageonair.com, read the reviews for yourself. But here's what I think you're going to be... I want to go to this first. The headline is New York City helps small theaters be more accessible. I meant to talk about this last week, but we didn't have time. And maybe I did talk about it, but I still want to...
You can talk about it again.
I'm going to shame our city. So, and you can, by the way, you could vote to change things if you want to. But they, I'll just read the first paragraph. In an effort to make theater more accessible to deaf and blind people, New York City is giving grants to Off-Broadway and other small theaters to install software that allows patrons to follow along with low-light smartphones and tablets. The city is doing that for the theaters. I mean, that's just a wonder. That would really show... Like, if Austin did that, that would really show that Austin, who does a really good job of talking the talk, would actually be walking the walk if they did something to that extent.
I will tell you not to toot the city's horn, because there's a lot not to be
tooted. No, don't toot.
They do, if you're putting on a show and you need audio description, they do have units available that you can... Rent or borrow?
They do.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that. So for those of us, because all of our theater artistic directors listen to this show.
I know.
How do they find that? That's really great news.
That's about the extent of the information I remember from the presentation 3 years ago that I saw on it.
Who gave the presentation? Was it done by the cultural arts?
Maybe cultural arts, maybe some other very nice people. It may not be the city. It may be another nonprofit here in town.
It might be VSA, Texas.
Oh, it may be VSA,
Texas. I bet you it's VSA, Texas, because I know they do provide audio people for people to sit with blind folks to give them audio descriptions.
It could be.
And other
but they
things.
Also have the wireless units where... So...
I like how Zach just did the
he
hand
did, like,
phone
the hand
thing.
Banana phone thing.
Yeah. Banana just, phone?
You dial the rotor.
You never
rotor
used to play
then...
with the banana like it was a phone?
Yeah.
Oh,
say
yeah,
hello.
I did. I tried to avoid
it. Okay,
see,
you had the banana phone.
All
don't
right.
look at me like I'm crazy.
No, I'm with you. I just didn't. Whatever. So the Tony Awards have set their date. They're a little later this year. July.
I was a little thrown. I thought I read that wrong. So I was like, it's like June 9th. And I was like, no, I think that says July.
Yeah. No, June 9th. Sorry.
Is it June?
Never mind. I was wrong.
No,
it's June 9th.
I thought it... Okay, well, I still did think it was July, too, and I thought it was July.
But once again, it will be back at Radio City Music Hall,
which
is always great.
I'm happy about that.
And as you know, the Tony Awards are going to be broadcast by CBS, but now that Les Moonves is no longer there, we're worried that it may not you know, because he was
the
a big
contract
supporter.
Will be up shortly, and yeah. he is actually the reason the Tonys stayed being yep. broadcast, and CBS took it over. So
it's going till 2026. So we have 7 years,
and then
seven
after more that, years. It's on Netflix.
And after that, it's on Netflix, which arguably has got a better audience these days. That's all I want to say about that. You'll like this. You probably know this. Have you ever heard of it? Well, maybe, I don't know if y'all heard of this show. It's about a little orphan named Annie. Have y'all heard of this one?
I was just thinking of her earlier today.
Who?
Annie.
Yeah. Well, do you know Andrea McCardle?
Andrea McCardle, the original Annie.
Is going to go back and do Annie.
And play Annie?
It's going to be Big yes. Orphan Annie?
She's going to play Little Orphan Annie.
Okay, that's kind of everything. For no. what?
Although, I would love that if that were the
like,
case.
I'd be there in a heartbeat.
No,
like,
she'll be playing Hannigan.
Oh, I was about to say, please tell me she's playing Hannigan, because that's kind of amazing full circle.
But this is mm-hmm. the second time she's done this. We talked about this 8 years ago in 2010, like, when she did it in North Carolina.
Okay. Where's she doing this?
She's doing it at the Axelrod Performing Arts Center in Deal Park, New Jersey. I don't know where Deal Park, New Jersey is.
Deal is like north of Asbury, Bradley Beach, Belmar. Deal.
Deal's is it in there. The same county? Is it in...
Well, I mean, Ocean Monmouth, they all split up pretty yeah. quick within a few three towns. I think it... Yeah. I don't know if it's in Monmouth or Ocean. It's probably like 45 miles outside of the city.
45 minutes to Broadway. So it's not hey, far. I like this sitting down thing. I just throw all my papers down
on the ground. I was just about
to
go, you're like eating peanuts at a baseball game uh-huh. and just chucking the shell.
Okay. Oh, we're running out of time here. But this is...
That just made my day, by the way. And I was that? Thinking of Annie today because I put on my 1 year anniversary of Hurricane Sandy shirt and... Annie was the last show we saw when the Hurricane Sandy shut us all down.
Yep.
Just like the dog.
Just like the dog, yes.
So,
isn't that funny?
There is a rumor, you know, David Byrne wrote that show.
Here Lies Love.
Here Lies Love.
He wrote a Joan of Arc musical,
Which I got to see.
Speaking of Joan of Arc.
He also wrote a musical called American Utopia.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which has been on tour over the past few months.
Yes.
They think it's coming to Broadway.
I wouldn't be surprised. He was proudly singing a lot of these songs when he just recently played at ACL and at Bass Concert Hall here
amazing.
In Austin.
Well, I heard him from backstage, so, but he was amazing.
Man,
at Bass.
Isn't he ever?
So you worked backstage for?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It was a great stage.
He's
set
like
too.
One. It was like watching one continuous amazing music video mm-hmm. of just like pure theatrical art. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was everything. Everything.
What'd you think of it?
It was everything.
Excellent. So the final little note I want to talk about at this point is...
King Kong?
No. We were talking about this last week. Ghost Brothers of Darkland County.
We were talking about Ghost yes. Brothers of Darkland County, the
so
Stephen
they are,
King,
they are
John Mellencamp musical.
That's right. Stephen King and John Mellencamp and one...
T-Bone Burnett. Oh, that's where Dale Watson got his equity Watson. Card and became a thespian, Nicole.
Anyway, so there's of course the T-Bone Burnett did a I want
musical
to call it
direction.
A, yeah, he did musical direction, yeah. but he also did prior to it opening in Atlanta. He did a concept album
mm-hmm.
With incredible people on it.
Well, let's just talk about it. It's T-Bone Burnett and John Mellencamp, and they're like, "Hey, do you want to record a concept album?"
Hey, I remember John Mellencamp when he was John Cougar.
John Cougar. Cougar. He still is Cougar in my world.
Touring around the country.
So they are reworking it specifically for licensing it. So coming to a high school near you really soon. Ghostland of Darkland. Ghost Brothers of Darkland County. Which was a pretty big flop in Atlanta.
Wasn't like the biggest flop. No, and it had a short tour afterwards that was done with Gina Gershon and Billy Burke.
Yep.
And it toured and it went to New York, which was weird. It was a very short, stripped back kind of, I don't know.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a little break and we're going to listen to a song from Ghost Brothers of Darkland County.
Let's do it.
Here we go. We are back. You are listening. I wanted to be all spooky, but we have a Halloween show next week, which is going to be incredible. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
It is Shiro. We make Shiro and Sheps and Shiro. We are here.
And we're joined by Zach Crawford. Hey, Zach.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to turn your microphone on and that
oh,
way people can hear
you. Oh, it even works better
like
this way.
Magic yeah. now.
So now is the time of the show where we do our random legal ID. Do you anybody want to take bets on what it's going to be?
I'd laugh really hard if it was Dale Watson.
I would love it to be Dale Watson.
Let's see.
It's probably not, but here we go.
Hi, this is Sandra Bernhardt, and you're listening to Offstage on the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
Sandra Bernhardt.
That was a fun interview. I remember doing that.
Yeah, it was a fun interview.
She actually is coming back to do something on Broadway, and now I can't remember what.
Womp womp.
But it would have been funny if it was Dale. Maybe next time.
So this is going to be a fun little segment here right now. We're gonna turn our attention to Zach Crawford.
Oh,
it's all about Zach.
We're gonna talk generally.
All about Zach here on Offstage and on the Air.
Yeah, you get a theme song.
That is my theme song.
All about Zach. All about Zach. So during 1448, I had an original theme song written for. I should have had them write a theme song for this show while we were there.
There's still time.
There still is.
I was like, what's
Allegra.
Up with that?
I'm going to call Allegra. Allegra, by the way, who I had never met before, she is amazing.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
She's amazing. And you know what? If you guys didn't, and I'm talking to you. If you guys did not go to 1448 this year in 2018, and you did not go to 1448 in 2017, what you missed this year is you missed Zach Crawford in a red? Was it red? Dress.
Black and red.
Black and red dress.
Black with red accents.
Zach Crawford played Jill of Jack and Jill. Uh-huh. And I have to say expertly, if we were Tony eligible, you would be a shoo-in for
it's
that
my
role.
Genre.
It's it's my genre.
10 minute plays. That's my genre.
So so it was an amazing event. And make sure you consider, think about, ponder the idea of in 2019 going to it. It may not be at Ground Floor Theater in 2019 because we may not have room. But we have Zach here. So we're going to talk about theater in general. We're going to talk about...
What you do? Who are you?
Let me just ask you a question.
Who are you,
Zach Crawford? Do you make your living as a theater professional in Austin, Texas?
We'll see how the next month goes. But yeah, generally.
Well, that's good. I mean,
that's
you're one
pretty
of the
awesome.
Few.
Yeah.
But do you make your living as a performer?
Sometimes.
Exclusively.
Oh, no, not exclusively.
Yeah, see, that's where there's not many people that can do that right yet. But you are, what are the various hats that you wear?
Let's see if I can number them on my fingers. I'm an actor, a puppeteer, a technical director, sometimes a scenic designer, a carpenter, an electrician, other things, QLab programmer, video.
Just a little bit of everything.
I mean, that's a good amount.
Available for weddings, funerals.
Well, it's wonderful to have. When Zach walks into my theater, I'm happy. I breathe a little sigh of relief because I know things are going to be... I know things are going to be done well and professionally. So cool. So what are your thoughts in general of the state of Austin Theater?
What are my thoughts in general?
Yeah, I mean, do you think we're strong? You know, one of the things that impressed me when I moved here to Austin from New York was, actually from Chicago, but that the amount of theater companies here, and there's over 100 of small theater companies here. I was just, and at the time when I moved here 18 years ago, it was a much smaller town, and yet I was impressed with the amount of theater that was done here. And at various times in that 15 years, it's been a strong community. It's been a less strong community. There's times where it's not. We know we're still in a venue crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts around the community?
You know, I think certainly we're in a big venue crisis right now. We've lost the Off Center and Salvage Vanguard's space on 2803 Manor and others.
I love that you just gave the address. That was everything.
You know, that's right now it's been gone for 2 years and they've turned it into a lovely empty box that they haven't
still
put anything
empty,
in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now, you know, big companies like, well, middle-sized companies like Salvage Vanguard, the Rude Mechs, others like that are finding a lot of new ways to present shows in various places around the city. And I think what we have right now is a lot of either beginner or early stage companies that are sort of developing into bigger companies where they're also having to do things in small places and having to come up with sort of experimental ways to put their shows on and get their shows out there. So I think right now we're sort of in a rebuilding season.
I think we are. I think indeed that's a really great way to talk about it.
I wish we had a video for the way you said it though, because you said it seriously, but you had this lighthearted, like, you know, yeah, like this. Yeah, this is it.
Yeah, we're not in a lull, but we're growing new things right now.
Yeah, I think we're redefining ourselves in a lot of ways by necessity, and you know, a lot of ways that makes it good. But it is difficult for companies like, say, Different Stages or David mm-hmm. Jarrett Productions that do more standard theater that don't really avail themselves
space.
To alternative space as easily as others. Mm-hmm. So I think. The net result is going to be a really vibrant theater community with a lot of different options along with the more standard classical options.
It's interesting. And I'm now, of course, it'll come to me probably like Cush Jumbo did afterwards. I cannot think of the name of the theater company outside of Atlanta. I can see the little black logo and the green bee.
Alliance?
No, it's not Alliance. It's okay. But they had this space problem, so they started doing their shows in unconventional ways. And this summer, they're the ones that flew the helicopter in during Miss Saigon last year.
Well, they've been doing that. They've got that outdoor space, and they've been doing that
almost exclusively now. I know that, but they've taken it to a whole extent. Like, they did Peter Pan this summer in the woods in the outdoor space. Mm-hmm. Yep. But they also then did Titanic on water.
Right.
With these risers, and I watched this video of the whole thing sinking and the people, and I was like, that just made me look at I like watching what they do, but they continue, that started from Atlanta having their issues, and there's a lot of other companies like that, and I see a lot of that around here.
So,
no Titanic on the water yet.
we have the river for it right now. Yeah,
I know, we could.
We We could have the Titanic go over the spillway.
So there you go.
But you only have one show.
Yeah. Well, they have that company right now that's trying to recreate the Titanic and recreate the voyage.
The white ship.
Yes.
The white ship Starline is making the Titanic to an exact replica. Yeah.
Which seems like a bad plan.
Yeah, not a good plan.
Would you book a trip? Because I know how the first one ended.
I absolutely.
I'd bring
would.
A very large door so two people could fit on it.
I'd
but
bring
other
a,
than that,
I'd bring a dry suit.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And my own raft.
Yeah. And a dolphin.
Dolphin. Speaking of dolphins, I have to backtrack. I saw they released another little trailer for Mary Poppins Returns.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you see it?
Yes.
Did you see the dolphin in the bathtub?
I was just about to go, is that because of the dolphin in the bathtub?
Love the dolphin in the bathtub.
How do you not love Mary Poppins? I mean.
What?
I was like, how do you not love Mary Poppins?
I could have sworn you just said, I do not like Mary Poppins.
No.
I
was
like, love Mary Poppins.
Shame on you.
So,
no.
Let's... Back to Zach.
Yeah.
So you have gotten, you've become, you said this the other day, and I don't know whether you said it at the 1448 festival or some other thing, that you were going to do X, Y, and Z unless a puppet shows up.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You've been doing a lot of work with Trouble Puppet.
That's true. And Glass Half Full Theater.
And Glass Half Full Theater.
Caroline.
Which is
great.
Yeah. They're a little, I don't want to say incestuous, but there's a familial bond, is there not?
They had their companies, and then they got married.
Is that how that worked?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so puppetry has gotten to be huge nationwide, and I'm going to say that it started here in Austin.
I'm going to say that, too.
Okay. You didn't see it, but Nicole nodded.
Yeah, she nodded.
And
thoughtfully.
She made that face that you do with your mouth when you agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. So, and I mean, puppets are all the rage. You know, somebody's going to be fifth row center for King Kong in
next
a few
Friday
weeks.
Night, next November 2nd. I'm puppet. It's all about the puppet.
So you and I have known each other for about 15 years. You were not doing puppets back when we met.
No.
How did you get involved in puppeteering?
It was Rocky Hobson's fault, to be frank.
Okay. Is that a rabbit?
Yes, that is. No. The tricks
Hobson.
Are for kids. No, he, we directed, we did that, rep Ionesco show at Play.
Oh, right, at Play Theater Group.
Yeah. And
there weren't puppets in that.
No. Okay. So later after that, I was at a show with Shaven Riley, Clowns, uh-huh. and we were talking in intermission, and he said, yeah, I got some friends. They're doing The Jungle with puppets. And I thought that sounded amazing.
That was your first. I remember you talking about that. I saw that.
That sounded amazing and really depressing. So yeah, I was like, depressing. I need to audition for that.
That was at SVT, was it not?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Salvage Vanguard
2009.
Theater. Yeah, that was back in the day.
So that was
so when you first your first jumping into this puppet world, uh-huh. did you go from puppeteering or did you help create puppets? Like, what was the level of your involvement first go around with the puppets?
First go around, I can't remember if I helped out building puppets on that. I mean, Connor's big on getting a community in there to help build the puppets because mm-hmm. really there's a lot to build.
Connor Hopkins is who you're talking about.
And so if I didn't build on that one, then I probably built on the next one, but that one was mostly learning how to puppeteer. And
did that feel for you as an actor? Cause it's a totally different awareness in your body.
So I come from a dance background and then a lot of my actor training was, physical training.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've always felt about puppets since I started doing it, 9 years now, puppets is pretty much just physical theater, but it's in someone else's body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's figuring out how your body works and then making the puppet do the same thing and coordinating with three other people. So it's a little bit of choreography, yeah. a little bit of dance.
Multiple. So a lot of times when we think of puppets, we think of the old school, either marionettes or hand puppets. But now
you're trying to tell me my sock puppet doesn't mean anything?
Oh, it means. Oh, it means a lot. Some Sherry
because
Lewis
Charles is going to tell you otherwise.
Is he in charge?
He might be.
But we've gone to this level of multiple people operating puppets. If you take King Kong, for example, there's
he's a
like
one
a
ton.
Lot of people. Warhorse was just incredible. The kind of work that people are doing, that theater makers are doing with puppets, is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And it's, I think along with dance and physical theater, puppetry really even informs normal acting because there's a lot of, you know, when three of you or four of you are trying to operate this one puppet, you have to be completely aware and in sync with these other people, which you sort of need to do in regular acting as well. So it teaches you that awareness and ability to mesh.
And that's where your dance background comes in handy as well, because with the three of you operating one puppet, there's you have to be choreographed.
You really do.
And we're in about, you know, 1 square foot
right.
of space. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Trouble Puppet is having a event, are they not?
Yes, Trouble Puppet is having a fundraiser this weekend on Saturday
mm-hmm.
At Casey Gray Homes and Furniture in that back room where they have sort of a bare bones.
I don't know that place. Where is Casey Gray Homes and Furniture?
Well, this won't help everybody, but you know where Rudamaya used to be?
Yeah, oh, that was in Penn Field.
Yeah, by Penn Field. It's mm-hmm. right across from that.
Okay.
But it's a fundraiser. It's going to be awesome. It's the Old West Cannonball.
I like that.
Next year, Trouble Puppet is doing a new version of the Donner Party opera.
Oh my gosh.
That Connor first did 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
It's going to have music by Mother Falcon and be amazing. So we're doing a fundraiser for it. There's going to be a sort of Oregon Trail inspired cannibalistic games. Cool.
Oregon Trail inspired cannibalistic games.
Where can folks go to get information about the fundraiser?
They can go to troublepuppet.com.
Troublepuppet.com. Sounds like a lot of fun. We're going to take a little break.
Uh-huh.
We're going to come back and we're going to do Today in Theater History, and then we're going to and then we have the interview for Play That Goes Wrong, and then we're done.
Done forever?
All right. So this is from Be More Chill, which is going to find its way to Broadway really soon.
I know.
I just love the name of this song. It's called I Love Play Rehearsal.
I love play rehearsal.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Yes, Shiro Shep, Shep Shiro.
And Zach Crawford.
I wish I had a fancy tagline like Nicole does.
Crawford, Shiro Sheps, Shiro Sheps, Crawford.
So we used to have a co-host here on Offstage and On the Air named... Stuart Moulton.
Yes.
He still has Austin Cabaret Theater, and he told me today that this is his absolute favorite cabaret performance after he's been doing this for over 10 years. And he's got Leslie Margarita.
She's kind of everything, people. So I can completely understand and agree. She is, I mean, she's the original Mrs. Wormwood from Matilda, but most recently she did the one woman show I'm obsessed with called Who's Holiday, where she plays Cindy Lou Who, all grown up, living in the trailer park.
Yep. We talked about that.
Yeah, she's brilliant. And she's the one that did the web series for almost a year and a half while she was on Matilda. And then when she went into Dames at Sea, she also continued these web series where she would do these wacky backstage interviews. Leslie Margarita is everything. She's an Olivier Award winning actress.
She is indeed.
She's Leslie Margarita. She's freaking the bomb.
So for more information about that, AustinCabaretTheater.org. And we're going to skip today in theater history. Nothing really happened. Actually, several things happened. It'll be there on the...
Put it online?
We'll put it online. You could go and find out for yourself. I want to make sure that we see the play that goes... hear the play that goes wrong. And I totally forgot the name of the gentleman I interviewed, but it's going to be there on the recording because we recorded it in advance. I wrote it down. It's Ned Noyes. He plays Max in a play that goes wrong. And I went to see it last night. It is a hoot, a holler, and a handful.
Hilarious is a lot of what I've heard.
Yeah, you're going to want to, when you go see it, and you only have between now and Sunday, when you go see it, you're going to want to make sure you get into the house before it starts, because there's some stuff that happens pre-show that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's listen to my...
Make some noise with Ned Noyes.
Oh, that's funny. Let's listen. Oh, yeah. No, that was the song that I was going to play after... today in theater history, because Movin' Out opened back in, well, now that it's there, I got to tell you when it opened. Movin' Out was the Billy Joel musical, and it opened in 2002. Now let's make some noise with Ned Noyes.
Hey, everybody. We are fortunate enough to have Ned Noyes on the phone. He plays Max in Broadway Across America's production of The Play That Goes Wrong that is playing actually right now at the Bass Concert Hall. Ned, how are you? Welcome to Offstage and On the Air.
I'm doing great. It's so great to be here.
Excellent. Well, thanks for being on the show. We'll talk to you later. That was a joke. That was comedy.
It's going wrong already.
So first of all, I'm so excited to be speaking to you. I have not seen this show yet, so I am so looking forward to it here in Austin, Texas. So tell folks a little bit about the show. What is it?
Sure. So basically, The Play That Goes Wrong is about the Cornell University Drama Society's attempt to perform an Agatha Christie-style murder mystery. Called The Murder at Haversham Manor, and they are wildly ambitious, and they're having the worst night of their lives. Everything that could possibly go wrong is going wrong, and it's about their attempts to try to finish the play with a shred of dignity.
Wonderful. Now, I saw the official, and I'm using air quotes, actually, I guess it is the official, trailer for it on YouTube, and it was that trailer, so the trailer makes mention of making a trailer for the play. Is that part of The Play That Goes Wrong, or was that something conceived just for the trailer?
I think I know the one you're talking about. Yeah, that is maybe just the conceit of that particular trailer.
Okay, cool. Well, I didn't know. That's the brilliance and genius of this piece, I guess.
Yeah.
And you play Max. Tell us about your character.
Sure. Max is has never been in a play before, and he's very naive and enthusiastic and is unaware that there are rules in theater about paying attention to the audience. So he acknowledges the audience quite regularly. He falls in love with them, and he can't stop checking in with them throughout the evening.
He breaks that fourth wall, or that fourth wall doesn't exist for him.
Not for him. Much to the consternation of everyone else on stage.
Exactly.
But to the delight of the audience, of course.
Great. Well, so this is a British farce, as they say, and
it
one
is
will.
We like to say it's a bit of Sherlock Holmes meets Monty Python.
I love Monty Python. So one would look at it on its exterior, which is all I can do at this point, because I've read a lot about it, but I don't know a lot about it. And of course, my head goes directly to Noises Off. Is it similar to Noises Off?
I would say, you know, there's certainly commonalities between the two. I think the major difference between this play and Noises Off is that you actually get to see an entire play in the play that goes wrong. Whereas Noises Off, you see the same act from different vantage points. But it's only that first act. With this, you actually do get to see an entire murder mystery play. If you're paying keen enough attention, you may, you know, be able to actually, you know, because you're watching two things at once, actually. Right. You're watching the play they're trying to perform and also their attempts to write their course when disasters keep happening.
Now, you have done this show on Broadway as well, right? You played this role on Broadway?
Yeah. So I actually began my time with The Play That Goes Wrong as an understudy. And I covered 5 of the 6 male roles in the show. I got to go on for most of them pretty regularly. And then I was promoted to a different role on Broadway. And when they asked me to do the tour, I was hopeful that I could play this role since it's my favorite. And it worked out. So, yeah, so I'm very familiar with the play. I've played most of the men in the show.
Awesome. Now, we talk a lot on this show. We try to educate our audience that not everybody is theater savvy. So we spend a good amount of time talking about understudies and swings and standbys and things like that, and trying to explain what that does, because that's a mystery to most people. But what's amazing, and so you said it so succinctly, 5 of the 6 male roles, you had to know their entire track.
Yes, and when audiences see that show, I mean, it's pretty amazing what the understudies in the show are capable of doing. Since it's a very, very physical show, there's a lot of stunts and complicated, you know, moments in the show where if you're standing in the wrong spot, you could very easily get hurt. So being an understudy is doubly challenging for this particular show, as it's a bit of a dance. So you have to know 5 different dancers' tracks, essentially.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, that's like, so you're like a swing in that case.
Right, yeah, yeah.
All right, so on a percentage basis, how much side-splitting laughter can Austin audiences expect to experience when they go there? Is it 95% of the show?
I would say yes. Honestly, I would say 98.
98.
There is a joke every 6 seconds in the show, and they all work. It's kind of astonishing. It's been refined over like 5 years, the people who created this show, and they've really tapped into something that's elemental. It appeals to every age group, every, you know, town that we've played in. The response is pretty raucous from the moment we start. So I think people are definitely in for a great time. It's like 2 hours of just bliss to perform.
Looking forward to seeing it. So just tell me that six jokes a second that's a bona fide statistic that you guys came up with?
No. That's just out of experiential doing the show every night.
There you go.
I'm not sure if it actually lines up with that, but that's what it feels like.
Well, because as you probably know, 87.6% of all statistics are made up. that's a true story.
Yeah.
So you have been with this tour since it started, yes?
Yeah. We just began our journey for the U.S. tour. So we're only in our third city now. Yeah.
Great. And where are you now? We are speaking before you get here via telephone.
Yes.
So by the time my folks are listening to this, you will have already opened here in Austin. But where are you right at this moment?
We are currently in Greenville, South Carolina.
Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Awesome. And have you been to Austin before?
I have. I was lucky enough to be there about 2 years ago on the tour of Cabaret. So I fell in love with the city. I'm very, very excited to be back here.
I was just reading about Cabaret because we just lost the playwright of Cabaret, just
Jill
passed
Masteroff.
Away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And what an amazing piece of work that is. What did you play in Cabaret?
I played Ernst Ludwig, who is the friendly German guy who takes English lessons from Cliff and then is revealed to have pretty distasteful political leanings.
So then I can assume then from doing Cabaret that you are not only a straight play performer, but a musical performer as well.
I am, yeah. I don't get to do too many musicals, but I love doing them when I am afforded the opportunity.
Are you a triple threat?
No, not a dancer. Although, you know, this show is so physical. It's like, I feel like I actually could potentially be better in a dance call than I've ever been in my life.
Well, there you go, man.
The show.
So it's time, yeah, time to put on those tights and start working out. And you come from Chicago. Were you a member of the Steppenwolf or...
I've worked at Steppenwolf.
You've worked at Steppenwolf.
But not an ensemble member, no.
Okay. Well, we love Chicago, and by we, I mean me.
Great city. Yes.
Yeah. It's a great city. So what are you looking forward to doing when you get here in Austin that's not necessarily theater related?
I mean, the two things that are high on my list are all the live music that your city has to offer. You know, I'm going to try to get out as much as I can after the show.
Yep.
And then, of course, the food.
The food. You got to get the barbecue.
That's how we usually... Oh, yeah.
They won't let you leave the city limits unless you can prove that you've had barbecue.
No, at least three places, I'm sure. we'll get to many.
Exactly. Well, I am looking so forward to seeing this show, and I'm very, very happy that you took time to talk with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I can't wait for your audiences in Austin to come experience this. It's really like just 2 hours of solid laughs.
Well, I'm sure when you're out there on stage and you hear those really loud guffaws on Tuesday night, that will be me.
Right on.
Yeah, because they call me Guffaw. That was my sorority name in college.
Well, we always need one of those in the audience because it sort of gets some of the people who are half asleep to wake up.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Ned Noyes, thank you so much for joining us here on Offstage and on the Air. And best. I've been trying not to say luck anymore, and I don't know a better word. So I'm just going to say best of luck with the rest of the tour.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks so much.
Cheers.
Bye.
That was Ned Noyes. He's in The Play That Goes Wrong by Broadway Across America. It is playing now through October 28th at Bass Concert Hall. For more information, austin.broadway.com. Oh, what could possibly go wrong?
Peace out, everybody.
Peace out.
We just have enough time to say goodbye. So
and
goodbye.
Peace out.
Zach Crawford, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Will you join us backstage for a little quickie?
Sure.
We'll go backstage. All right, offstageonana.com is where you can find us. Do all the stuff that we usually ask here. Stand by for Austin Monitor News if you're listening on terrestrial radio. If you're on the podcast, and you should be, stand by for Backstage at Offstage where we'll learn more about Zach Crawford. And what are we playing as we go out here? I don't know what we're playing. Oh, we're playing The Temp and the Waitress.
Interesting.
Yeah, me too.
You sit at your reception desk, looking oh so statuesque, taking calls with so much care.
Now the curtain has just come down on Football, the musical.
Exciting.
The story of a hapless young team from Houston, Texas, trying to make it in the big leagues of the NFL, but they fall flat because they fall into the Longhorn Dam.
You know, what's funny is, do you remember that movie Wildcats with Goldie Hawn?
I do
back
not.
Back in the day. Mm-hmm. And they made a video at the end of it. Wesley Snipes is in it, and Woody Harrelson, she's a football coach. And they make a video at the end of it, and she sings, football. Football. And that just made me think of that when you talked about Football, the musical, mm-hmm. Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, that was actually...
Singing in 1988. Must have been 1986.
That was actually what you just sang was the 11 o'clock number in the show.
Yeah. And these old times.
So we've left the theater. We're outside next to the dumpsters. We have our feet sitting in puddles of liquid that we know what it is this time. It is rain.
You cannot drink it. Yeah. You must boil it.
Cannot drink
it.
Well, oddly enough, this puddle that we're standing in now, I have boiled ahead of time.
Oh,
that's so nice.
You are such a courteous host.
So joining us back here is Zach Crawford. Welcome to Backstage.
Thanks.
Zach Crawford. Have you been backstage before?
I think so.
Well, you never know.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, you would know.
I mean, not in this puddle, but...
you would know. So...
He's quick-witted, Crawford.
That's my Zachy. Mm-hmm. Zach, so I did look up. I was trying to find a piece of music that was Broadway. Uh-huh. And so my trick is I find something about the show and I put that word in and I say original cast and iTunes and do a search. Mm. So I tried Zach and I did Z-A-C-K. Mm. Well, because I was looking for a more common spelling. You spell your name Z-A-C.
Just Z-A-C. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the real way to do it. Real men do. And nothing came up.
No,
nothing got, at all?
Well, yeah. So iTunes
does
this.
I feel like there's a lot of Zach in.
Not even the Lego Maniac music.
iTunes does this crazy thing. Is it decides that what you want, what you think you're doing. So it decided that I was trying to say back. So I had a lot of things that said back.
And oh, there's a lot
no
of back.
No thing that says Zach.
It just changed it and told you were wrong. You should tell it's. It wrong.
And, well, you can't argue with iTunes.
Sure you can.
I was about to say, we were talking about, I have arguments all day. I win them all.
Okay. So, Zach, what's new in your life?
You know, getting ready for fundraisers and closing out shows.
What are you doing for the fundraiser specifically?
Things.
Okay.
You know, prep.
We'll talk a little. We typically don't talk about things backstage that we talked about earlier,
sure.
But I will give you the opportunity. We don't have the same rules here on backstage. Uh-huh. How much are tickets?
Tickets are $25 for the regular ticket, which involves a couple of drink tickets and coupons for the game. And then there's a $50 VIP, all you can drink, lots of coupons for the game so you don't die.
Oh, well, that's like kind of awesome sauce.
Yeah.
There you go. So are you a performer for the, are you, you wear so many hats.
Yeah.
So you
she wants to know the hats.
You carpened?
Yeah.
You carpened?
Yeah, he carpens. He builds things.
Carpendium.
He carpens.
He carpendiums.
You actins.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you you do other things.
Just
you
all kinds
you
of
do lighten.
Yeah. Lighten.
Lighten. Technical direct and
technical direct.
Sound a little bit of sound.
Well, we call it audio and.
Oh,
audio and.
I say noisin.
Noisin.
Just like old Ned.
Yeah, just like Ned. Except he wasn't noisin. He was, Ned Noise. Oh,
he
you're
was
good.
Noisin.
He should be in Noises Off.
I know. Uh-huh. Can I just tell
you? He can't be.
Ned Noise is really the greatest name. I'd like to know if he was.
No, Leslie Margarita name. Is the greatest name.
Yeah. Well, Leslie Margarita is one of the greatest actresses. So, I mean,
there you go. We have always learned, we've learned in the past when you've been back here, we know where you're from. You know how you got into the theater.
Yeah.
What do you like about Austin Theater, and why do you stay here?
He's like, could I please have had these questions before I showed up?
Why did you ask me that question?
Normally my contract asks to have the questions ahead of time.
Yeah.
I like Austin Theater because there's a whole lot of new work coming out.
There really is.
We're even bringing in new work these days, like the Salvage Vanguard show that's just closing. We brought out of Boston. It's a world premiere. But there's a lot of new work and experimentation and people who are really excited to try new things and who bring new things in from out of town.
Cool. What's your favorite venue to work at?
What's my favorite work at? In what way?
In any
way.
Yeah,
it could be the people.
There's, really only, there's really only
the
one answer.
Stuff,
ground floor theaters.
There you go. So thinking of the venue, we talk about the venue crisis.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any ideas how to fix the Austin Theater venue crisis?
Well, I was going to win the lottery, but that doesn't seem to have happened.
Well, even then, it was like, if I won the lottery.
I had in my head, if I won the lottery, earmark a certain amount for the theater community in Austin. That was in my head.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was gonna.
You can't
buy
do that.
My current venue and give it to somebody.
Yeah,
and then I was gonna build a theater center.
Sure.
There you go.
I mean,
that's what I was gonna do.
I
with
think
the money.
That's really, and it's finding a way to afford it and finding the backers for it. But really, what we do need is a theater center that has rooms for rehearsal and building
Well, there is a plan that the Austin Creative Alliance is working on that where ACC Riverside is.
Yeah, yeah.
There's that whole plot of land. There is a plan for an entertainment district.
I went to
there.
The meeting for that, and it seems.
Me too. Oh yeah, we were there together.
Yeah. It seems like they have a lot of good ideas. One on how to get it done, and they have they're not just developers, so they actually have ideas about how to actually make it useful for people,
and
they seem to want input.
Isn't that interesting how that makes the difference?
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, and they are indeed, they had talked about at that point, this pop-up temporary venue yeah. space on Pleasant Valley, which is going to happen, evidently.
It's just going to borrow Austin Playhouse's tent.
I know. So I did speak to Jenny Lavery of Austin Creative Alliance, who's actually spearheading the building of that. Uh-huh. I said, you really need to talk to Laura Toner.
Yeah.
And ask her about her tent experience, because yeah. It was problematic. I was never in that tent. Were you?
No, I wasn't.
Were you, Nicole?
No, I was never yeah. in the
so
tent.
So we're talking about the Austin Playhouse tent in Mueller.
Yeah.
Mueller, Miller, Muller.
Mueller.
Technically Miller.
Technically well, Miller, but
we don't pronounce things correctly.
No.
Well, no. We can. That's a whole nother show.
Going by Texas pronunciation, it should be Merler. Because you just add Merler. R's to
there
everything.
Really is like four actual pronunciations. Where are you from? Mm-hmm. How do you mm-hmm. want to call it?
Yeah. So that that would be that.
How long was that? The tent was almost 2 years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I 2 years.
So. It was two seasons.
Yep.
Yeah.
I actually think they fell into a good spot. I love where they are now.
Yes,
I mean,
no, I mean,
I love the space. I don't love the navigation on how to get into it, but it's
yeah.
I like the space. I haven't worked in it. I just as an audience.
I've worked in the space. I like uh-huh. it as a space. I just know sometimes there are complexities with working with ACC.
With ACC, correct? Yeah. So that's similar to Trinity Street Theater. That's got complexities in working with the church.
Well, they just don't have any good elevators.
They don't have any elevator. Oh, they do have a.
They have one elevator, but you can't fit a chalkboard in it. I'll tell you that.
Well, I will remember that because I
no Matilda for them.
And the chalkboard doesn't really make the corners on the stairs. I'll tell you that too.
I often well, but it's open, so you could just hoist it up with a
block
a rope.
And tackle. Uh-huh. Yeah, you just set it up. It's fine.
Yeah, that block. Churches have they have blocks and tackles in their storage closets.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else about you do we need to know? It's like I know we talked earlier. You're you're available in the next couple of months if anybody wants to use you, right?
Yeah, if everybody wants to use
you. How do people find you?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much they can just call you on air, I think, and you can send them my digits.
Yeah, you could find me, or you could probably Facebook you.
Yeah, you can Facebook me.
There you go. Lots of ways to do it.
Yeah.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah. This is your place, not mine.
Stop. You have the dance background. What is uh-huh. your favorite genre to dance?
Ooh. You know, I mean, I love tap. That's what I started with. Ballet really has, I mean, there are things I really love about ballet as well. I love a lot of, when I was younger, I did a lot of partnering work, and that's sort of amazing. But I like modern too. So, you know, all of them.
You like all of them.
So I'm going to ask a very insensitive question.
Go ahead.
So we're on the radio. People can't see you. You're not a small man.
No, that's true.
When you were dancing.
I was a smaller man.
You were a smaller man. Well, I love seeing big men who mm-hmm. can dance. I think it's awesome. So do you still dance?
I don't as much as I'd like to.
We danced together, you and me.
That's true.
Where?
In the play
about the baby.
That was the day that
did
I cried.
Really?
Oh, it was awful for me.
No.
Remember, I cried. I stormed off the scene.
We were 30
away.
Years younger back then. I don't remember.
We were. Zach played my husband.
That's true. Well, man.
Well, yeah, man. We don't know.
Man, woman.
Man, woman, girl, boy.
Yeah.
So we were asking if you dance now.
Yeah. You know, I've been doing it a little bit more lately. This show that I just did at Playhouse, which was with Paper Chairs, the audience, I had some dance movement in that. Mm-hmm. So I took some classes again to get back and get those small muscles working.
Where'd
again.
You take those classes?
Cafe Dance.
I don't
it's
know Cafe Dance.
Kathy Dunhamrick's.
Oh, okay. I was like, is it Catherine Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, up on Mesa or wherever it is.
Yeah, they're too
mm-hmm.
far away.
Yeah, well, you know, you just go 22.
Oh, I know exactly where they are. We did a they were one of our first interviews back in the day. We did a remote there.
Yeah.
That was
a long time ago.
Way back when.
That was BN. It was Stuart. Stuart mm-hmm. and I were out there.
But yeah, if anybody's looking for dancers.
Okay, yeah. And Yeah. Austin's got a pretty vibrant dance scene.
I am
surprised.
Austin has a great vibrant dance scene, and it's interesting. There's a lot of conversations I've had recently with folks, even with media. Not only we have locally a really great dance scene, but the quality and the different companies that have come through touring also in the last 2 years have been some of the best dance in the world. We have been so lucky to, and it's just all over the gamut. It's not just ballet or just jazz or like one different type of genre. And I mean, I think part of it is too, is jazz is such a part of mainstream television right now and entertainment, which I think is a great thing, even if it's not your cup of tea, that I think it's kind of made people get excited about it again. So
yeah,
there's, you know, I said over in the other studio that theater's sort of in a rebuilding year right now, but over the past year and a half, dance, especially like installation or site specific, like Jennifer Sherburn's 1111 and Natalie George's 1111.
Yeah. Out of this world.
Blip Switch, yeah. Frank Woman. There's a lot
of stuff going
tilt
on.
With, you know, they do the, what do you call it? It's not differently abled, but they do.
They do differently,
abled. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good
it's
stuff
just
going
been,
on.
It's, you know, normally we used to get excited when it was two or three times a year, and it's so frequent now. It's so exciting to have all these discipline of the arts. We are one of five cities to have all five major disciplines in our city. We're very, very lucky. Uh-huh. And
someday someone will give them some money.
Yeah, that's all we need.
So,
we're out of time here backstage. We got to get our feet out of these puddles of boiled water.
Yeah.
Well, I got to go sing in the rain.
Zach, thanks so much for joining us over here. Do you mind if I call you the tap dance kid?
Do it.
I'm only going to do that because
there's
videos
online.
Well, we're going to be of you tap dancing. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, I love it. That just made my day.
Zach
Taps
Crawford,
my thing,
tap dance
so you're
kid.
My spirit animal.
Well, thanks for joining us back here.
Thank you for having me.
Come back.
I will.
Come back, Shane. All right. Bye, everybody.